Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We've said many times, and it's so. The Scriptures are concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, what He's done, where He is now, what He's doing. If there is anything that we look for save seeing Him, we look wrongly. We must see Christ. That's the only comfort that a believer is going to have. If we go through these Scriptures and you that believe don't behold the mercy and grace of Almighty God, you leave here having not eaten. You're not fed. He's the bread. Without the bread, we don't have anything to eat. Well, tonight I want to look at a passage of Scripture, and I've entitled this message, A Lesson from a Woman Named Tabitha. I pray the Lord bless this message and that we see the gospel in it. It's a message about a woman that died. And a man named Peter was brought, spoke through her, the Lord spoke through him. And this woman was resurrected. Now, in this resurrection, I want us to look to see the gospel of God's free grace, salvation. If all this is a story, though wonderful as it is, of a woman that was raised from the dead, if that's the extent of it, what profit is that to you or to me? It happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But if this message, if this account is relevant to us tonight, now there's something to hear there. And I pray that the Lord speak to us through this woman's healing, resurrection. The Scripture sets forth about nine truths that I want us to consider about a woman named Tabitha. Here's the first thing that I know about this, and remember that we're looking at how Almighty God treats His people, how He treats them, how He looks upon them, how He considers them. This woman right here is in type a picture of every one of God's elect. The first thing that I know about this woman named Tabitha is that she was a chosen vessel of God's mercy. The Scripture starts in verse 36. This is where we left off. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Now, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, here's a town, Joppa. We've heard of that town before. That was the town that, remember, that Jonah was going to flee to, going to get away from God. And here's this same town, Joppa, a town that God had blessed to the housing of some of His sheep. One for sure, probably many. But it was a woman named Tabitha, and she lived in a place called Joppa. And she was a certain disciple, a particular, sanctified, set-apart disciple. Now, the word disciple means a learner or a pupil. This woman was a disciple. She was a disciple of God's grace, a taught one, a learner. The Scripture says in John 6:45, they shall all be taught of God. I can set forth and preach the gospel, set forth the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're taught, you're taught of God. The Spirit of God takes the message of God and blesses it by the Spirit of God to your heart. Taught. She was a certain disciple. One that the Holy Scriptures gives no other account of. This is this woman's epitaph. There was a certain woman that was named Tabitha. Tabitha, Dorcas. It means a doe, or a beautiful one, or one with clear vision, clear eyes. Dorcas, Tabitha. I know this secondly about this woman. I know that she was regenerated by the grace of God, called out of darkness. Now we know this because the Scripture says of her, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She was a faithful woman that adorned the doctrine that she professed. When there's a new heart, it evidences itself. The Scripture says you'll know them by their fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A person regenerated by the grace of God with a new heart, it shows on them. I've said this before. A person that is a believer acts like a believer. Someone says, how does a believer act? They just act like a believer. You know what? There's no way in the world that I can sit down and tell you how a believer acts. But I can tell you this. They all act consistently. They all have a hunger after God's Word. They thirst after Him. They love to assemble themselves together. They love to hear. They love the fellowship, God's people. They act like a believer. And when they talk like a believer. Well, you know, you listen to a person that is a religionist. Now you that believe, you know what I'm talking about. A person that is a religionist, they have a religious jargon, but a believer talks like a believer. Well, how do they talk? Well, listen to them. Just listen to them. There's no set rule to it. I mean, they just have a... There's life in what they say. They speak life. They speak of Christ. They speak of Him. They set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a faithful woman that adorned that doctrine that she professed. She had some good, the Scripture says, good works. Now that word good right there, now there's the key to it. I looked it up. It means good in character or constitution. Good. Good works. But it wasn't that she herself was the producer of those works, but she was the vessel of mercy through which God Almighty worked. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Good works. She believed God. Faithful. Faithful. She was a woman that did what she did to the glory of God. Now, to most, I would say that they would consider this woman's position pretty insignificant.
Yeah.
What did she do? Well, later we're going to find out she made coats and things for the poor. That's what she did. I mean, how can that be significant? Let me tell you. There is no insignificant part in the body of Christ. Someone could say, well, you know, compared to the eye, the fingernail is not that big a deal. Unless you pull one off, and all of a sudden, you realize that that whole body aches. Have you ever broken a toe? Let me tell you something. You hurt all over when you break a toe. I mean, I walked through a house one night and I caught my little toe right on the edge of a corner. And I mean just right there. Little toe and the next one over. Had it x-rayed the next day. It's broken. And let me tell you something. That little toe is not insignificant. It's significant. This woman, to many, they considered her place insignificant. But this was the place that God put her. This was the place that the Spirit of God saw fit to manifest Himself through this woman in what the Scripture refers to of good works and alms deeds that she did. So we learned that this woman, a chosen vessel of mercy, in this particular place, in Joppa, this is where He placed her. But this is what else I know about this woman, who is a picture of all of God's elect. This woman was a sinner. The Scripture says in verse 37, it came to pass in those days that she was sick, and she died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Now, the only reason that anyone gets sick and die is because of sin. Sin. The Lord told Adam, in the day you eat, you're going to die. Surely, you're going to die. Spiritually, he died that day. And he began dying physically. And eventually he did. The wages, the pay of sin is death. Physical, but for the grace of God, eternal. This woman was a sinner. But this sickness concerning this woman could be described in the same way that Lazarus' sickness was. This is what the Lord said of Lazarus' sickness. John 11:4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This woman, a sinner, a chosen sinner, a regenerated sinner, but a sinner. This woman died. This picture right here is what we see of our spiritual need. This woman was sick. All God's people are sick. The Lord said in Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But one might ask, aren't all people sinners? Well, yeah. But only those that God reveals to themselves that they're a sinner, a needy sinner. Only they are the ones for whom the Lord died. They're the ones that the Lord came to save. This woman was sick and died. There's a picture of what happened in the garden. He died. Fourthly, I learned this, that this woman was a spiritually cleansed woman. Chosen object of God's mercy, yes. But a sinner, she failed. The Scripture says in that second part of that 37th verse, it says, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Now, there's nothing that could more clearly set forth the spiritual significance of this washing than what we see in the wording of this scripture. There's two words that are translated wash. One of them, it means to wash a part of the body. Wash just a part. That's the description. To wash a part. That word in John 13:5 is, after that he poureth water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet. That word washed there means a part. A part of. Now there's another word translated wash that means to bathe or to wash the whole body. That word is in Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, that is, by the Word of God. Two words, washed. One of them means the whole body. The other one means a part of the body. Now, here's a scripture where both words are used. And it is the continuation of that scripture when our Lord was washing the feet of the disciples. And you remember Peter told him, he said, Lord, you'll not wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. No part. And he says, oh, my head, my arms, wash all of me. He says, no, just your feet's necessary. Here's the scripture, John 13:10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, that word washed right there means the whole body. Washed. He that is washed needeth not save to wash, but to wash his feet, the part, but is clean every whit. This woman was washed. In verse 37, it meant the whole body. This woman was spiritually cleansed. Next, or fifthly, we learned that this was a woman that had a hope. The scripture says in verse 38, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come unto them. Now here, Peter is a wonderful picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tabitha was dead. She had absolutely no ability to call Peter. Why? She was dead. Dead. A picture of a chosen vessel of mercy. But a picture of one who was not without hope. The objects of God's mercy are totally void of any ability to summon the Lord of glory to their aid. You know, you listen to men set forth what they say is calling upon the name of the Lord and exercising their free will. What more clear picture can you see of man's inability than right here? This woman was sick and she died. She was dead. She was in a coffin. Set up in an upper room. Chosen vessel of mercy, yes. Dead, though. If the Lord waited on her to call upon Him, she'd never call. Why? She's dead. Dead. No voice, no heart, no thoughts, no hearing, no breathing, no nothing. She's dead. Peter, a type of Christ, was constrained. It says they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would come, not delay to come unto them. Don't delay to come to this woman, Tabitha. God's eternal covenant of mercy was the constraint upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say concerning the woman at the well? I must needs go through Samaria. I've got to. Other sheep that I have, they're not of this fold. Them I must bring. Why? Everlasting covenant, grace, mercy. Sheep given to Him before the foundation of the world. The Father had entrusted Him with the redemption, the salvation of all that He had given Him. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, that I should lose how many? None of them. Constraint. This woman right here was absolutely helpless. All of God's people are. Sixthly, this woman manifested the title that she held as being a disciple. The Scripture says in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The Scripture says in verse 39, "Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Tabitha, as all God's people do, had a good report among the saints. Now, I understand that man by nature, religious man by nature, despises, number one, he despises the God that we preach. Therefore, despises those that preach Him. But this woman had a good report among the saints. These widows, those to whom Tabitha had shown kindness for Christ's sake, spoke highly of her. God's people love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You love one another. God's people love God's people. They love them. They're in fellowship together. They commune together. They meet together. They love Christ together. They have a heart for one another because they have a heart for Him. They'd lost a good friend, a taught believer, one that God had given some wisdom, had been removed from their midst. And that's always tough. Boy, we're between a rotten hard place whenever God's people leave. Now, I'll tell you, I'm just trying to be honest here. When one of God's sheep, especially an aged believer, now, I don't necessarily mean in years, I'm talking about in wisdom, whenever God is pleased, and whenever God is pleased, that's when He removes His people. But whenever one that is taught by Almighty God, I've said this before, but it bears saying again, one that God has taught of Himself, given some wisdom, whenever God removes that person, there's a great void in there. We bow to the fact that Almighty God has done that which is right. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's some folks, many that sit right here tonight. If the Lord were to remove you and I stay here, it'd be a void. It'd be tough. We bow to His will and we thank the Lord for His mercy and grace and we rejoice in that which God has done. But I'm telling you, we miss each other. Why? Because we love each other. These people were sitting around, all the widows stood by Him weeping, showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. We enjoy each other's fellowship. She was a loved woman. But the love that was most important was the love of Almighty God that He had shown her. They loved her because she loved them, but especially that the Lord had loved them before they loved him. They had fellowship. He loved her. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And she loved her Lord. Loved his people. Seventh, in Tabitha's call to life, we see the mystery of regeneration. Verse 40, it says, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, and said, boy, I'll tell you this, if you can't see the gospel right here, then we just don't see it. What a picture. He said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. There is absolutely no doubt that the life-giving power to call this woman to life from the dead was of God. There's no doubt about that. Peter was the instrument. The Lord had given His disciples, granted them that ability, that power to raise the dead, to speak in languages that they'd never learned before. It was an evidence that they were His disciples. But what that was, it was a setting forth of Him, His power. What did Peter and John say? There was a man there, he sat by the gate called Beautiful, and he walked up, he was asking alms, and what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter was but the instrument through which the Lord manifests His glory and His grace. God Almighty sends a preacher. He's a mouthpiece. John said of himself, he said, I'm just a voice. That's all I am. I'm just a voice. A voice crying in the wilderness. But if Almighty God is pleased to speak to His people, He'll do it through the message that He's given the voice. But if they hear in power, it's the voice of Almighty God. My sheep, He said, hear my voice. And Peter here, as a type of Christ, spoke to her. And what did he say? He said, Tabitha? Why did he call her that? That was her name. The Lord said, I know my sheep by name. I call them by name. I call them personally. When God was pleased to call, then a personal call. What did He do? He said, Tabitha, arise. Tabitha, get up. Here's the miracle of birth, rebirth. The Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. What did He tell you? Here's a picture of rebirth. When it pleased God, and He didn't call all of you, you that believe, He didn't call you all together. He called this one, and He called that one, and He called this one, but He called them all the same way. He called them through the preaching of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. But when He called you personally, and you heard Him. Called you out of darkness. He spoke and she heard. Christ speaks and the sheep hear His voice. They hear Him. She opened her eyes and the Scripture says she saw Peter. She sat up. The sheep are given eyes to see Christ. And they see Him. They see Him by faith. But they see Him. She sat up, and the regenerate was raised up in newness of life. But there's one other point that I want to look at in this particular verse, in verse 40, before we go to the last three verses. And it's this, the first part. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. He put everybody out of the room, is what he did. It was just Peter and Tabitha. Regeneration is a private matter between the Lord and His people. The eyes of men do not and cannot behold the mystery of God's working. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." Turn back to John. Just look at this. John 3:8. John 3:8. Regeneration. A mysterious, gloriously mysterious truth, an event. John 3:8. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." How does God save a sinner? I can tell you that God saves a sinner through the preaching of the gospel. I know that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God saves. I know He calls them out of darkness. I understand that. I can understand that part. But how is it that Almighty God removes a heart of stone? And that heart of stone is not the throne anymore. How is it that Almighty God gives a man a new nature? How is it that He imparts life? How is it that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's a mysterious thing. He put them all out. He put them out. He spoke to her. And then, verse 41 says, "And He gave her His hand. He lifted her up. When He'd called the saints and widows, He presented her alive." Tabitha, as a type of all God's sheep, was lifted from the bed of death. David said in Psalm 18:48, "He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." Psalm 30:1 says, "I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up." You delivered me. "And hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." David said, "You, Lord, by power, grace, by Your will, You lifted me up from the pit of hell and death and the ditch of sin and the slough of despond. You did that." I know this, I can see in this right here, that Marvin Stoniker, being a chosen vessel of God's mercy, but dead, sick with sin, dead in trespasses in sin. And what's going to have to happen? The Lord's going to have to come to me. And God's going to have to speak to me. And God's going to have to lift me up. But when He speaks, I rise. He lifted me up. He did. "And when He had called the saints and widows, He presented her alive." He lifted her up. How high has God lifted us up? I tell you this, He's lifted us to the place of being sons. Now are ye the sons of God. How high has He lifted? He gave her His hand. He lifted her up. Lifted us up to that place that He has said that we're adopted. Adopted. Adopted sons. Heirs of God. How high is that? Joint heirs with Christ. What He receives, we receive in Him. Oh my, what joy. I don't doubt it was to see their friend alive. When he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. I cannot express the joy that a believer has when they behold God call a sinner out of darkness and they behold him alive. And they hear him speak of Christ. And they hear him and see him growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a privilege. But while we rejoice now to see the objects of His mercy, called out of darkness. Oh, one presented alive. What do they say? I want to confess the Lord in baptism. Boy, that's an evidence of one that God's done something for. I want to confess Him before this world. I want to fellowship with you people. Where God's people are, that's where I want to be. I want to behold Him presented alive. We rejoice now to see the objects of His mercy. But what shall it be? In the day of the Lord, when the throng that no man can number shall be presented alive before Him. To come before Him and to hear Him say, presented alive, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This resurrection, and this is the eighth point, verse 32, was in type the power of God. It was known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. This story right here is a picture, it's a type, it's a setting forth of the gospel of free grace. Dead in trespasses and sins, the shepherd comes, the shepherd calls, he gets the sheep, he brings them to himself, he calls them out of darkness and they live. It was known, it was perceived, it was understood. Here's a picture of our great shepherd coming to get, lifting us up. That's the power of God unto salvation. And then lastly, point number 9. This message, as it always has been, is foolishness to the world. Now here we've seen a picture of one of God's elect. How God viewed them before the foundation of the world. How they fell in Adam, died in Adam, hopeless, helpless. Here's Peter, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to him, putting everyone else out, calling her out of darkness, speaking to her, calling her by name, lifting her up, presenting her alive. In verse 43 it says, it came to pass that he tarried many days, that is Peter, in Joppa, with one Simon, a tanner. You say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, you know, Peter was an apostle. He was an apostle. And if there had been, I doubt not, if there had been in that place maybe a lawyer, a doctor, maybe a statesman, you know, congressman, you know, governor. Oh, they would have had Peter. You know, I don't doubt, had they truly been one there that was a believer, oh, they would have invited. I don't doubt it a bit. But I want you to notice who Peter stayed with. He stayed with Simon, a tanner, a menial job, hard working man, a tanner, someone that worked hard with his hands. That's who Peter stayed with. The Scripture said he stayed many days with this fellow. 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Here was a story of a woman named Tabitha. As far as the world was concerned, what did she do? Not very much. She just made coats and some things for the poor, for the widows, believing widows. But here is a beautiful picture in type of God's people. Things that this world just absolutely considers so insignificant. She didn't have a television program. Didn't have a big sign, you know, sitting behind her, you know. Didn't have a lot of hoopla. But when this woman died, a picture of our spiritual state before Almighty God, we see how Almighty God set forth and showed in type this woman called out of death, presented alive, loved by those who were in the same state as she was in. The glorious gospel of free grace. This world is just going by like gangbusters. And this world absolutely has no idea of what's going on. Everybody is in a race to just see how fast can I get to hell. But Almighty God, in this place, this place, this place, has one here, and one here, one here. And He's calling them out. And He calls them by name. And they come, and they realize, but for the grace of God, God left me to myself. And I'd have died and perished in my sin. Lessons from a woman named Tabitha. Well, I pray the Lord bless that to our hearing. All right.